Well, I'm working through the Psalms. It seemed appropriate for a time like this, and I thought I would do Psalm 46 tonight. Psalm 46. Let me read. It's one of the Psalms of the sons of Korah. Listen to God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And may God be praised through the reading and hearing of his holy word. Father, we now pray that you would give us the benefit of these words, these great truths, that they would fortify us in our faith. We pray in Christ's name, amen. Martin Luther is famous for his rendition of Psalm 46, his hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And he's a man who faced many bleak days. His life was often in jeopardy, and it was said that he would gather with Philip Melanchthon, his partner in crime, and when trouble was brewing and people were saying the earth was falling, he would say, "Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm." And he says this: "We sing this psalm to the praise of God, because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin." Now, Luther's life bears testimony to God's faithfulness. And so in times of fear and distress and uncertainty and peril, Psalm 46 gives us a reason, a rationale, truths that will enable us to say with the psalmist, "Therefore, we will not fear." Psalm 46 directs our faith to trust in God. He is our refuge and strength. Well, the psalm breaks down into three neat sections. Most of our translations organize it that way. And the first stanza, verses 1 to 3, shows that God is the strength of his people. God is the strength of his people. And notice that it very frankly admits that we are weak. "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way. The mountains are moved into the heart of the sea. The mountains tremble at its roaring." And so he's in a situation where it's very fearful. The world is being turned upside down. I don't know if this is going to be a blip or a watershed. I don't think any of us know at this point. But these things happen throughout history. And there's really not much, in many cases, that we can do in our own power to stop it. We pray tonight for the researchers and for the medical workers, and Lord willing, it would be wonderful if a vaccine were to be made. But it reminds us how vulnerable we are, and there are times, I know that many of us feel right now the way that Psalm 46 is speaking, the earth is giving way, the mountains are falling into the hearts of the sea, the things that we've relied on are falling down. Well, in that setting, the psalm tells us that there is one thing on which we can rely. God is our refuge and our strength. God is unmovable in his being. He is immutable. He is eternal. The affairs of our world are not able to exert influence on him. His will does not fall. He is almighty. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so all the perils, all the tumults, all the distress that we feel and we see, we look up and we know that there is a fortress in the being and the person and the will and the promises and the works and the word of God. They're like a fortress. That's why in times like this, we need to be reading our Bibles. because the fortress is there. We need to see it. We need to enter into it. We need to take God as the strength of his people. I think of Elizabeth Elliot. When I think of Psalm 46, you probably know her story a little bit. She and her husband, very famous husband, Jim Elliot, recent college graduates. They just got married. They went down to South America. They had a passion to reach the Aka Indians. That was an indigenous tribe, I think, in Guatemala or thereabouts. And they were trying to reach them. And the time came when Nate Saint and Jim Elliot wanted to go for it. And they took their plane and they landed on a sandbar. And they were going to try and make contact. And Elizabeth was a young wife with little children, her husband, seeking to serve the Lord. And they prayed that God would protect them. And in the will of God, their lives were taken. The natives came and they brought spears and they slew all the men. And Elizabeth Elliot, later writing about it, said that her whole world had fallen apart. You think of all the different things that are involved with that, all the vulnerability she would feel, particularly in the middle of South America in that setting. But she wrote at the time, but the one thing that is not shaken by this is God. His faithfulness. And I tell you, Psalm 46 assures you, God is our refuge and strength, and he is a very present help in trouble. He is not shaken. And one of the things that we learn, and I trust that we are learning in our pandemic, is that nothing else can take his place. Our money is not sure. Our jobs are not sure. The nation, the booming national economy is not sure how easily, how quickly it can be overthrown. We don't have a technique that can, it's not a skill issue. We are weak. We are vulnerable. But God is the strength of his people. And he declares that he is present to those who call upon him in faith. That's the first point of Psalm 46. God is the strength of his people. But secondly, we learn here what is the great need of his people. And we see in one of my favorite lines of the whole Psalter, there is a river, the streams of which make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. But you see, notice what the condition is, that God is in the midst of her. That's what we need. We need a relationship with God. We need a saving relationship with God. We need to be abiding. We need a faith where we're living with him and he's in our midst. This speaks particularly, I think, of the church as the church. Oh, there's all kinds of things that make the church impressive. I mean, we have this lovely building here, and I love it. And I'm glad for it. And we have, we have skilled people. We have money. We have a membership. My friends, our one great need, and if we don't have this, we will not endure. But if we have this, we will endure. And that is for God to be in the midst of us. For God to be indwelling the church. God to be indwelling the lives of the people. For God to be among us. If we can say God is in the midst of us, then we can say God will help her at the break of day. Our great need is for God to dwell in us. Now, scholars argue that it's clear that some great national tragedy is happening. Verse 6 says, nations rage, the kingdoms totter. And usually the scholars will say it's probably Sennacherib. And it may be, in fact. You know, 701 BC, we've talked about it. And when the Assyrian army came to Jerusalem. We just read this in Isaiah. And the Rabshakeh comes and he mocks them, and there's 185,000, and Jerusalem's in deep trouble. But you see, then Hezekiah went and he prayed to the Lord, and he prayed in faith, and he glorified God through his word. He called upon the Lord. The Lord was with him, and he destroyed. The angel of the Lord came in a single night. 185,000 of the enemy were slain. If God is with us, if God is in the midst of us, we can suffer loss. We can experience tragedies. We cannot be overthrown. And you see, if we're laying hold of God, I want to say to you, if you're personally laying hold of God in faith, if his word is dwelling in you, if God is with you, all of these trials are leading to an eternal weight of glory that far outshines them all. our great need is for God to be with us. I love this line, how often I've thought of it. God is with her. God will help her at the break of day. Oh, there may be a night, but there will be a morning. God will help the church. He will help his people. He will help you and me at the break of day. You see, what makes the church special and stable and secure, what makes us secure and stable and indeed special, nothing outward. It's the inward presence of God. And no doubt this is talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's interesting. Verse 4 says, there is a river, the streams of which make glad the city of God. Now, you go and go on the internet and you pull up your map of Jerusalem and you'll find many things there. You'll find hills and mountains and valleys. You will not find a river. It's actually the only major city of the ancient world that is not built on a river, because that's kind of the way it worked. And so what's he talking about when he says there is a river, the streams of which make glad the city of God? In fact, Hezekiah, he had to bore, it's one of the marvels of the ancient world, the engineering feat. They drove through the rock of a mountain so they could have an aqueduct, so that when during the siege, they wouldn't die of thirst. Now, that's because you don't have a river. That's what you have to do if you don't have no river. But no, there is a river, the streams of which make glad the city of God. You see, it's a spiritual river. It's the river, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit. The life-giving presence of God. Or we could put it this way. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The river that makes glad the city of God is Christ and his gospel. You know, you can take this verse and you can make a whole philosophy of Scripture. What is the strand that holds all of Scripture together? What is the river flowing through the Bible? It's Christ and his gospel. And in the Old Testament, it starts in little ways. You have the first promises, like in Genesis 3. And then you have the rituals that made glad the city of God. The atoning sacrifices. They pointed that there would be a way to deal with sin. There would be a way to secure God's favor. And you think of the events of the Old Testament, so many of them prefigured Christ, the first Passover, when God delivered Israel out through the blood of the Lamb on their doors. That was the gospel. But what happens through Scripture is the river becomes deeper and broader. And then you come to Jesus Christ actually appears. And what are the kinds of things that Jesus says? He says to the woman by the well in John 4, if you would ask of me, I will give you living waters, and out of your heart will flow springs and will well up rivers of living water. Or that great scene in John 7 during the water pouring festival at the pool of Siloam during one of the feasts. And Jesus stands amidst the people. He says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. And John comments, we didn't get it at the time, but later we knew he was talking about the Holy Spirit. You see, the gospel of Jesus gives us the saving blessing of Christ, and it's he who sends the Holy Spirit. What we need now in the pandemic is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is tied to the gospel, and Christ is Lord of the Spirit, and he is the Lord of the gospel. Oh, let us be laying hold of the gospel promises. You see, if you'll do that, there will be a river, the streams of which will make glad your home. Instead of despair, and I'm sure there are people despairing right now, you'll be able to gather your family and you'll be able to say, no, we have a saving God and he has covenanted us with his Son. And his Son has laid down his life for our sins. We are forgiven. We belong to God. We have the promises. And there will be strength. There will be joy. There will be peace and calm. It is through the gospel of Christ, that God is with us by his Holy Spirit, and it's like a refreshing stream. It makes glad the city of God. Let's be preaching Christ. Let's be trusting Christ. Let's be rejoicing that we have a Savior. And the world might look at us and go, y'all, there's no river in your city. You know, the world isn't interesting. I don't think we originally made the essential business list. You know, we were in the non-essential category. Literally, in several states, the liquor stores were essential. The churches were not. That tells you what the world thinks. in many states, the marijuana shops were, those were essential, literally, they were essential, along with the abortion clinics. The church was not. Well, we know better. It was the very life that we need that will assure that God is with us, and we know that He will save us in the end. And the great need of America today is Jesus Christ. We must proclaim Him, lay hold of Him yourself, and He will give you joy and peace. And you will not be, though the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, you will endure. You will endure. Now, we get to the end, the last three verses, verses 8 to 10. What then is the work of the church? What is our calling in these times? God is our strength. We are weak, but He is our fortress. He's our present help in trouble. Our great need is that He would be among us, that He would be in us, that we would have the life of the gospel through the Holy Spirit flowing through us. Well, what then are we to do? And the answer is that we are to glorify Him. My friends, our great calling in this crisis is that we would contribute to and actively promote the glory of God and rejoice to know that He will do so. Listen to the words of verse 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. By the way, that's partly why they think it was Sennacherib, because in that case, the salvation was the destruction of the enemy army. But notice the attitude of the church is pointing to Him. See, there is a God, and He answers prayer, and He saves His people. This is our calling. What a privilege for us as the people of God in the coronavirus pandemic, that we would be able to bear testimony to the glory of God. You see, the mere fact that we can do so will show the power. We ought to be, it's not us, but it ought to be clear. It ought to be evident. People ought to be saying there's something different about the Christians in this pandemic. Their whole outlook. What's the difference? Well, there's a river of grace flowing through them. And the result is the glory of God. Now, listen to God's speech. Here's what God says to us. Maybe for many of us, this is what we need to hear from the Lord today. He says, be still and know that I am God. It's not only that we are to allow God to be glorified in the eyes of others, but we're to realize that God is to be glorified in our own eyes. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know exactly what's going on with the coronavirus pandemic. But we can know some of the things that are involved. And surely one of them is this. Is God saying to you, be still. Be still and know that He is God. He wants us. What does it mean to be still and know? It means to trust Him in an obedient faith when we ourselves don't have the answer. We trust Him in an obedient faith. And what this is saying is as we do that, God will magnify His glory to us. I trust that we will be able to say afterwards, there are things about God I didn't really appreciate. I didn't really lay hold of Him. I didn't count on His faithfulness. But He showed me that He's faithful. I didn't really count on His power. He showed me He has power. I didn't count on the life that He would give me. And He would keep me from the pit. He would lift me up in my heart. I trust that God is going to do that. I was talking recently to a church member who is potentially facing some rather significant loss through the pandemic, and he said to me, well, we are trusting the Lord. We are taking this as an opportunity to discover the reality of our faith and to realize and to experience that He is faithful, He is able, and we are completely reliant and trusting that He is going to meet our needs. Now, that faith is going to see the glory of God as He answers our prayers, as He provides for us. Be still and know that I am God. Well, I think of another woman. I mentioned earlier Elizabeth Elliot, but I think now of a woman named Lisa Beamer. About 15, 16 years ago, she was more famous because her husband was on one of the airplanes involved in the 9/11 crisis. Maybe 9/11 was the last time of national, shattering event. And her husband was one of the group on that plane that went down in Pennsylvania, and he was one of the men who who fought against the kidnappers and kept them from striking their target. And he was a Christian man, and he was killed. And of course, his family was put in great distress. Listen to what his wife said afterwards. She said, "I can't see all the reasons God might have allowed this to happen when I know that he could have stopped it. I don't like how his plan looks right now from my perspective. But I know that he loves me and that he can see the world from start to finish. And that helps me to say it's going to be okay. Faith means that regardless of the circumstances, we take him at his word when he tells us that he loves us. And we trust that he will bring us to a good result if we will trust him and obey him." Well, truly, God is a support for all who trust in his word. We find a refuge and strength in the Lord in this way. And be still, he says, and if we will, being still is the very thing that Lisa Beamer talked about. We will trust him and obey him. We will go forward in that kind of faith. He says, be still, and you will know that I am God. This is the promise we have from God. Well, we've seen from Psalm 46 that God is the strength of his people. It's all falling apart, but he's a fortress. Oh, go into the fortress through prayer. Go through the word. Lay hold of the strength that is God. And our great need, the second point, is that God would be dwelling in us by his Holy Spirit. Life and power and refreshment, even joy. Our great calling is that he would be glorified, both through us and to us. I want to conclude with a question, and it's this: how can we be sure that this psalm is for us? And look at verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. How do we know that we're the us? How do we know that he is with us today? He's with you. We can really rely that's true. Well, the answer is through faith in Jesus Christ. Of course, remember what was the name that was given him. He shall be called Emmanuel. He is God with us. And if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's not even that because we believe and by believing that God is with us. No. It's because God is with us that we believe in him. And my friends, if you're saying, listen, I've got a lot going on, I'm anxious, but I trust Jesus. I believe in the word of God, and it may not be easy to do at all times, but I am committing myself to faith in Jesus Christ. The only reason you can say that is because God is already with you, and that it's the seal, it's the sign that God is in you. Oh, exercise your faith, and you will have the assurance that this psalm is for you. It's even about you. Martin Luther put it very famously in that great hymn, "And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us." If we can say that I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I confess my sins to him, I look to him not only to have died for my sins, but to have risen to secure eternal life for me, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is interceding for me now, and he is the one who's going to write the end of this story when he returns, and then we will walk beside the river of the water of life, beside which is the grove of the tree of life. We shall not be moved. God will help us at the break of day. His kingdom is forever. May God bless all of you. Let me pray. Now, Father, we thank you for these words. This is not an expression of our sentiment, our hope. It's your word, and your word is sure. And so I pray, Lord, that Psalm 46 would be a source of strength, a fortress, as it were, into which we can run, because we know that it's about Jesus. It's about your covenant faithfulness. It's about your sovereign might. Father, I'm not able to touch the members of the congregation. I don't know exactly who's struggling. We thank you for the many ways in which we've been able to connect. But Father, I would pray particularly for those who are reeling and that are anxious and maybe even bereaved. I pray that the words of Psalm 46 would have the effect you clearly intended. Oh, Father, would you help us in whatever our setting is to be still and know that you are God. And we will say, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our fortress. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.